Let's turn to a very simple prayer in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Beginning in verse 35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegars, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. How does this fit in with power and prayer? Consider the circumstances. Guilty? Caught? Condemned? And crucified? You own that cross! You deserve to die! There is no reason nor right that you should live any longer. You've transgressed the law, death is yours, and it's assured. But this thief had something. He had hold of something. Twofold. Humility and faith. His humility, let me tell you how humble he was. Brothers and sisters, according to the scripture, he was so humble that though he was hung naked on a cross, he told those mocking, Hush! Be still! You should not speak against God that way. You be quiet. Take humility to do that. No, I don't know. No, I haven't seen him. But I can tell. You be quiet. You quit mocking Jesus. And then he turned his face to the Lord. And this is a prayer of power. Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. You want power in prayer? Defend the Christ. Confess him before men. He'll confess you before God. Do you want power in prayer? You be humble and you stand up for nothing but Jesus, only Jesus. You be humble enough to say, I deserve to die, that's absolutely right, and because of that, I'm getting in the way of anybody who curses my Savior. You cannot, you must not, you will not, you must be still in the name of my Savior. And always follow that prayer. Remember me, Lord. Remember me, Lord. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you expect to go to glory on some time other than a Sunday afternoon? Confessing. What circumstances and what an answer. Someday we will cross that veil. We will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it will be a very real thing. But I expect to go through there talking with my Savior. By His grace, may that be possible. For I want to hear, today, wouldn't you love this, Brother Luke? Today, Luke, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Just a few steps more. Or, just a little more suffering. You'll be with me in paradise. What better words of comfort can we have as we are facing what we have earned by our sin than to see Him who has died for our sin
say today's the day we're passing through. Glory!
Well, let's move on from power and prayer. There are dozens of examples of this, but that is enough. The next thing we'll look at, very briefly, I hope, is the fact that prayer doesn't change God's will. Y'all know that? Prayer does not change God's will. If you are praying against God's will, you are wasting your time. Prayer doesn't change God's will, but prayer does this thing very, very well. It changes the will of the one who prays. And it brings you into agreement with God's will when you're praying aright. And all of a sudden, you will to do God's will, because God's will is your will. And life is so good. When you are kicking against the pricks, it's not very fun. When you're working against the goads, you can't make much progress. Let's look at Joshua chapter 7. Famous account in Scripture of the second battle in the Promised Land. We're going to look at two sides of Joshua here. Prayer doesn't change God's will, it changes the one who prays, bringing you into agreement with God, beginning in verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God! Wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan! Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Stop there. Look at Joshua before Ai. Hey, we just took out Jericho. And man, it was so easy. All we did was walk in circles a few times, make a little shout, and go in and burn the spoil. How easy is that? Okay, here we come. Here's Ai. We know how this works, right? Hey, we're so good. God is so happy with us. All right, we'll just send a few thousand people up there. We don't even need to go with the whole troop. Just head on up there, man, and take care of business. Just do it. Joshua sends the men out. They get whooped. Turn tail and flee. Oh. Joshua, what's missing? Then he falls on his face. Then he remembers to seek God's will. And we know about the sin being found out and the works of God to eliminate that sin. But the most important thing that ends Joshua's prayer there at Ai is he finally got in agreement with God's will. Went when God said to go, and when he went when God said to go, he won. And then that which was forbidden them was given them in full. The spoils before that they could not take, now take it all. I just wanted the first fruit. You had to know God's will. And Joshua, unfortunately, set an example that many of us follow. We wait until things have gone really, really wrong. Am I right? And then we say, oh yeah, should have done that. Well, let's learn a little and say, okay, Father, I know often I've made this mistake before you. Now, give me your grace and enough communion with your spirit that I don't go out in my own strength again, but only following that which is your will for me to do. Lead me, guide me, and take me on to victory. Do you need a little victory in your life? Do you need a little overcoming to happen in your life? How many AIs are we going to fight before we realize God first, then the victory? Turn to Acts chapter 9. Beginning in verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And I've seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Do you want God to say, Behold, Nathan prayed? Do you want God to say, Holly prayed? Go and deliver her this word. 3 days, no food, no water. There's a whole other lesson there. He prayed. What was Paul's will when he was Saul there? Saul's will was to take everyone who called upon the name of Jesus and throw them in prison, drag them before council, vote for their destruction, and help stone them to death. That was Saul's will. What became Saul's will after he prayed? When Saul was praying, God changed his mind. He changed his mind so radically that the murderer went to save her. Now, how about that? Those that I would have put to death, I'm now going to encourage. And everybody else who I would have ignored, I'm now going to speak to. And as I speak to them, I'm going to tell them the good news of the one who saved me from killing others. That's a pretty powerful time of prayer. And that is a pretty powerful coming in accordance with God's will. Now, Saul, in this account, is not the only one who had his will changed. Before the Lord spoke to Ananias, Ananias was in prayer, and I can only imagine with my mind that as Ananias prayed, he said, Lord, that demon-possessed man Saul is on his way here. He's looking for everyone that claims the name of Jesus, and I have already spoken in the synagogue here in Damascus, and I know I am in big trouble if he shows up in my house. So would you please cover me and hide me? And the Lord says in a vision, Hey, Ananias, I want you to go see Saul. Whoa, time out. No, opposite plan of what I had in mind there, Lord. I said, hide me. Not send me. I said, hide me. And Ananias had a little discussion with the Father there. But while he prayed, his will was changed. And because Ananias' will was changed, he obeyed. And as he obeyed, Saul received sight, salvation, baptism, and anointing to preach the gospel. Brothers and sisters, will you be willing to do what Ananias did and go find you a Saul who has been talking to God. Lay hands on them that they might receive sight, salvation, and baptism with an anointing to go out and preach the gospel to untold thousands and millions. Ananias is directly responsible for the ministry of Paul because his will became God's will. Everybody wants to be Paul. Give me some Ananiases. I think that's what God is saying. Well, let's look at another side of this. Let's look at insincere prayer. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. A refusal to change when you come to God in prayer is an insincere prayer. If you are saying, I'm right, they're wrong, and forgive me, your attitude is very simply, the devil be damned. I don't care what God says. That's what you're saying. If you're coming with an unwillingness for you to be the one who is totally, radically transformed, it's insincere. God will not hear. This man came and he had good questions. What must I do? He gets the answer and thinks, all right, I've done that. Good next prayer. What lack I yet? In fact, I would commend that prayer to each one of us, that we would ask those two questions before God. But let us not commit the sin that this man did, coming with a heart that was self-justified already. He came to Jesus because he thought he was good enough. Good master, that's like saying, my good brother, we're on equal footing. Not right. We can't come to God that way. He won't accept a person. He accepted no man's person. Let's beware insincere prayer. God have mercy. Well, let's move on now to examples of effectual prayer. Still in Matthew. Turn to chapter 20. Don't begin reading yet. In London, about 150 years ago, five ministerial students were visiting a certain sanctuary on a hot Sunday in July. As they were standing without the doors, waiting to go in, a man came up to them and said, Would you like to see the heat source for the church house? And these five minister students thought, It's July. Why would we want to see a heating unit in July? They went along, polite young men, as an older man had come to them, and he took them to a room, and he very quietly opened the door and said, Look within, in a whisper. And he said, There lies the heat source of the church. 700 souls praying for the anointing to fall on the service which is soon to take place. Do it again, Lord. That guy was Charles Spurgeon. What was the power of his ministry? The power of his ministry was the 700 praying saints. We need that, brothers. Sisters, we need this desperately in our midst. J. Hudson Taylor was able to say this: the sun has never risen upon China without finding me on my knee. And in my lifetime, I have seen in 40 years 700 missionaries and 1,000 native workers in the field. Do we believe? Will we persevere until God says yes? Matthew 20, verse 30, examples of effectual prayer. Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Why was this effectual prayer heard? Clear need, clear faith. They had an overcoming spirit. We have everything to gain and nothing to lose by bringing our petition to Jesus. And as we come, we'll cry for mercy. For we know he is a God of compassion. And we know he is merciful to our unrighteousness. Their thoughts would have been, I'm blind because of sin. That was what they were trained from the time they were toddlers. Hey, the reason you're blind is you're wicked. They knew what they were doing coming to Jesus. They knew what he had said. They heard him say, because they couldn't see him preach, they heard him say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. So they took him at his word. That makes it an effectual prayer. We're not going to turn and read this, but let's consider Stephen's prayer. Stephen was being stoned. And his prayer, his dying prayer, was, Father, forgive them. What was the effect of Stephen's prayer? How can you say that's an effectual prayer? He died. Saul got converted. And the only way for Saul to get converted, the only way for God to forgive Saul, because Saul was kind of a key player there in that account next to Stephen, for Saul to be forgiven, he had to go through the cross. Stephen said, Father, forgive him. Forgive them. And God said, okay. Head on your way to Damascus, Saul. We're going to have a meeting. Because my Saint Stephen has called upon my name. Brothers and sisters, that's an effectual prayer. Turn to the book of Job. I know we're dancing all over the place. Want these things seared in our soul. By the grace of God, do it, Lord. Come on, give me that page. Job 42 is where you want to go. Verses 1 through 10. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, get this, he sees God. Wherefore, because I have seen you, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept. Lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Effectual prayer. Job prayed for his friends, who had spent the last 40 chapters abusing him and unrighteously representing God. Job prayed for his friends who had done and spoken wrong. Job prayed for his friends who had done and spoken wrong, and they were spared because of his prayer. And not only that, brothers and sisters, he prayed for those that had done and spoken wrong. And as he did it, they were not only restored in God's sight. Job himself found himself accepted from God, released of the captivity of the torment that he had been under. Physical, financial, spiritual. I mean, this man was depressed. God turned his captivity, and he took him and, in effect, set him in a high place. Untouchable now is Job. And making him untouchable, he said, blessing and honor poured out on him, twofold more than you've ever seen before. That's an effectual prayer. And what was Job's prayer? I abhor myself, repenting in dust and ashes. You want an effectual prayer? Turn also to Jonah. After Obadiah. Jonah chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, and in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. What made that prayer effectual? Repentance. Repentance. Jonah said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Have you transgressed God? Do you stand in the way of the sinner? Repent. Jonah had denied God's will and served himself. Therefore, his punishment, death, in essence, from the belly of hell, it says, turn and repent. Let's look at another prayer right here in Jonah. Chapter 3, verse 4. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Pretty clear. A whole city How would you like to see Griswold meet outside on a Saturday afternoon in sackcloth and ashes? It'll take a preacher. But before the preacher goes, there better be some prayer. Jonah had 3 days to prepare his heart. Well, we won't look at any more under this examples of effectual prayer, but I'll bring one to your memory. In Isaiah chapter 38, we have the account of King Hezekiah. You're going to die. And he turns his face to the wall and he pleads with God, I've been righteous. From my youth have I served you. Spare me, God, I pray. And God speaks to Isaiah, says, go back. The king in his chamber has called upon me. I'll give him 15 more years. I need to close. So I'm going to very quickly look at this last two sections. Examples from our Savior. We won't look at them. But prior to Jesus choosing the 12, he went and he prayed all night. He sought God. Before I name these 12, you've got to strengthen me because I know their problems. You've got to encourage me because I know there's a traitor. You've got to give me right division so I pick the ones you want, not that I want. Because Jesus was man too. He had to know what's God's will. And what is the surest way to know but to spend a night with him? Jesus on the cross. Stephen was copying him. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And because Jesus prayed that prayer, you're here. If he had not prayed that prayer, what could God have done? What should God have done but wiped out the world right then and there? You have killed the King of Glory. Because Jesus prayed, we're here. Matthew 14. You need to turn to that. I think we have to read this. Beginning in verse 23. Jesus had just fed a multitude, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit! And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I! Be not afraid! And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art Son of God. Brothers and sisters, Jesus prayed and walked on water. Jesus prayed. Get this. I mean, could you grasp this? He prayed and then walked on water. Peter, to show us that it is for us, prayed. And when Peter prayed, Jesus said, Come, and Peter walked on water. Prayer in the Spirit affects life in the natural. If you need evidence of this, and this does not show it to you, you are blind and you do not see. Spiritual prayer affects our natural life. How many of you see some waves out in front of you you need to walk on? Jesus is saying to you, come. I have passed on before. Come. I'm in the waves. And as you're coming, if your faith begins to waver, call on me like Peter did. Peter said, Lord, save me. Did Jesus let him sink? He saved him. Let us avail ourselves of the examples of Scripture. And if we will avail ourselves of the example of Scripture, we're not going to last in this building for 1 year. The room won't hold it. If we would begin to call out in faith upon God, if we would begin in faith to walk on water, because He has said, affect your natural circumstances. Brother, your family. Our family. This community. Two final scriptures. James chapter 4. This is the last portion. There are conditions in prayer. Conditions we must fulfill. James chapter 4 lists them for us. And then we're going to see how Jesus said it. James 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust at war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. May God give us grace to abide. His word has been spoken to the church. What will we have? Let us have no plan, but to seek His plan and the grace to carry it out. May God add His blessing.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.